just don't get it right.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter.
Hey, looks like you like to get up early, so Monday through Friday, listen to me from 5:30 to 9. Mike Ferguson here, and you are listening to The Randy Tobler Show right here on News Talk STL.
Well, thank you, Mike. And, you know, I can't catch the show every morning, but when I listen to the podcast, I catch the show. And you can catch, of course, the podcast and listen to Mike and the gang every day here on News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. And you can also listen to Todd Showalter on The Right Mind Show. We're not sure if that's aptly mine, because looking at some of your cartoons, and I mean this with all great admiration, I'm not sure if you're in your right mind, but that's what takes a creative mind. It's always fun. Just kidding.
That's the irony of it.
Yeah.
You know, they think it's going to be like, you know, all cerebral and deep, but then we go the other way. It's just, pure craziness. Yeah.
You know, my kids tell me that whether they're listening to your show or looking at your cartoons or listening to our show, or to be in the business of communications and parody, and God, is there so much to parody and have fun with these days politically, you have to be a little crazy, right? Because you have to think things in a different way than most people think things. And I think that's what's so fun about looking at your work, not only, of course, through your website and your cartoon work, but your on-air work as well. You have to be a little bit out there, a little bit different.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. I mean, I try to identify with my audience, you know, and so, I mean, I like to think that, you know, the readers and the audience are as crazy as I am. And, you know, we're one big dysfunctional family. And that's why we call it the tagline is we put the fun in our dysfunctional world, but it's pretty much our dysfunctional family. Yeah, because we're all crazy.
Yeah, you know, do you have the kind of mind that sort of is a stream of consciousness? Because I would think with your creative wiles, you know, you just probably have this ticker tape of ideas, and once in a while they drop into your consciousness and it turns into a cartoon, right?
Well, yeah, but it's so, like I've said before, it's just like a stream of absurdity that we live in. I mean, it's pretty much just being an observer. I mean, so I'm just taking notes. It's not so much you know, creating anymore. Yeah. I mean, just every day, it's just, you know, a nonstop, all you can eat buffet of stupidity. And, I'm the messenger at this point.
Yeah, you're right. I wanted you to try to help me understand something. Clip 8 is something that you've heard it, I'm sure. I don't know if you're going to address it today, but I mean, it's been all over this week. Speaking in Pennsylvania, Joe Biden talked about his Uncle Bozy and what happened to his Uncle Bozy in a plane way back when in the war. And here's a little bit of it.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brozy, they called him Bozy. My Uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. He got shot down in New Guinea, and they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
Todd, but I mean, the guy's crazy, right? I mean, the guy is crazy, and he's the leader of the free world, right? What the heck's going on?
Well, I know, and the funny thing is this shows you why our media is so left-wing, because they play that clip, but they left out the part where the cannibals actually ate Joe's brain for dessert, okay? And that's why he's he is the way he is right now. I mean, the guy, I've listened to this, and I thought, okay, I'm going to really keep a straight face and see what type of little nuggets I can pull out of it. I can't. I burst out laughing every time I heard it. I hear it, because the best part is it wasn't just some random thing that he said once. I mean, he did it again. And I think people had warned him that, hey, let's lay off the Uncle Bozy story, okay? And none of this stuff was true. I mean, I don't know if you heard about it, because not only was Uncle Bozy not eaten by cannibals, But Uncle Bosie never went down in New Guinea or was flying a single-engine plane or any of that. All that was debunked, and even the military came out and said, no, poor Uncle Bosie, he went down in the Pacific Ocean and all this stuff. And you know, so here's he's totally discrediting poor old Uncle Bosie's character and everything. I mean, if I went down as a, you know, with my squadron with the Air Force in the ocean, I wouldn't want, you know, my nephew, who's crazier than anybody, years later saying that I was, you know, some cannibal's dinner. I mean, that, I don't know. Show Uncle Bosie respect, Joe.
It's just, you can't make this stuff. Okay, now, Jerome, pull up clip one here, because turning to a more serious side, Todd.
Oh, no.
We're seeing, yeah, I know, once in a while I need to reel you back into reality here. This is a clip of Biden talking about how Donald Trump would get us into a war. Just take a listen to this and think about the absurdity and the hypocrisy of this guy's rhetoric. Go ahead, play it.
The world has changed because of what Trump has done. And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right. The fact of the matter is, there's a lot at stake in this election.
So Todd, if I got this right, maybe when Biden is getting us into a war in Iran, like everything else, like the border, like the economy, like you, law and order, it's always Donald Trump's fault, right? Is that the way I'm reading this?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they came out with it this morning yet, but apparently the extinction of the dinosaurs was Donald Trump's fault, too. I think they're going to come out with that, and the sinking of the Titanic. I think it wasn't actually an iceberg that the Titanic hit. It was actually Donald Trump, and he sank the Titanic. So everything, according not only to Joe and the Democrats, but everything is Donald Trump's fault. I mean, anything bad, that is. And so, and that's just even playing that clip. I mean, that just shows you the projection. I mean, basically, everything that they've said bad that the right, the conservatives, and Donald Trump are going to do or have done, the left and Joe, they've gone out and actually done it. So they basically predicted everything that's going to happen. And then taking the bad parts and then just saying, well, no, that's Donald Trump's fault. I'm going to do that, Randy. I mean, from now on, you know, if I get a speeding ticket, I wasn't driving. It was Donald Trump. You know? No, you can't give me a ticket. He's hiding under the seat. Trust me. It's total absurdity. And there's still people out there, though, that I'm not saying yesterday. I got to say, I'll text this to you. Again, I had a cartoon about, you know, Joe on the he was in therapy or something. And I don't know. He was saying some ridiculous thing. And so it was about the economy. And I have people that yesterday sent me messages that I'm proudly printing out and going to put on my refrigerator, explaining to me, like, you know, calling me every name in the book. The economy is great. Joe Biden's our best president ever. How can you say the economy is bad? This is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with these people living in a delusional world. And you talk about me talking to my audience is crazy. Well, Joe's delusional, and the people that follow him are delusional. It's unbelievable that they there's no reality anymore.
Well, and that's the thing. I would like to think, Todd, that they're delusional, but what I'm worried about increasingly, when you walk, just drive, when you're, you drive around the city, I drive around where I live and in St. Louis when I visit back again, and I see the restaurant and the entertainment venues, parking lots are full. I see the retail outlets, parking lots are full. And I can't help but think that maybe, in a political and economic reality sense, people are delusional, but maybe not so. I mean, when you're looking at a government led by progressives who will do anything for power, including forgiving student loans where contracts were signed, obligations were made, and expected to be repaid, are we developing a mentality in this country where, hey, carpe diem, live for today, que sera, que sera. I don't really give a flip about my future. I know the government's going to bail me out because I see them bailing out everyone else around me. Could we be to that point in socialist, the United Socialist States of America?
I think so. Well, yeah, I think that's really what they're pushing. I mean, that is what they're pushing. And it's basically, and that's what concerns me, I talk about, you know, future generations. I mean, you look at all the money. You look at trillions and trillions of dollars. What is it, like every 100 days is another extra $1 trillion in debt or something like that. And it's a total disregard, not only living for yourself and in the day, which is and there's no spiritual backbone anymore either. I mean, it's all just me. And I think this whole the whole psyche that's being, you know, projected by the left, and you mentioned the progressives, is encourages that. And when you can, you know, just think for yourself so selfishly and not think about future generations, that's really, that's not only bad politics, that's immoral. And it's a shame. And that's why I think we just need an entire overhaul. Now, they obviously don't want it, because obviously anytime that, you know, they're God, I mean, they're the ones who are going to follow what we're going to do. We'll give you your instant gratification. And those are the type of people that we're dealing with, which are basically, what type of people are those besides being selfish? They're children. I mean, we're dealing, the progressives are basically spoiled children. Yeah. And, but unfortunately, we're allowing them to call all the shots. It's when we finally say, look, I mean, you're not calling the shots anymore. The big boys are, you know, the parents are going to take care of this now. That's when things will change. But right now, we're afraid to do anything. We're just letting them do whatever they want, and we've got to make it stop.
Well, you're right. I mean, look what's going on in our college campuses. I mean, we've got people setting up basically encampments and shouting death to America. And I don't hear the hue and cry that we used to hear, which was, hey, love it or leave it. You may not like everything about America, but this is the greatest society that the planet has ever or will ever see in terms of our founding documents and the values that we have previously lived by. And they're getting away with it. The media is giving them all the free press they want. And where is the hue and cry to say, whoa, 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 were it not for the values of this country, well, you wouldn't be able to sit there, you young skull full of mush, and diss this country. I mean, it's been turned on our head, on its head. And unless we turn it around, I don't know, brother, I'm worried for the future.
Well, one of the problems with that, and I've got a frequent guest on my show, we call him Professor Jim. He's a conservative college professor in liberal California, and he's kind of our inside guy on this topic. And you have all this foreign money that's coming in from Saudi Arabia, China, you name it. I mean, it's basically, those are the main ones, that in India, that are coming into our universities. And they're saying, we're going to give you all this money, but there's a string attached. There's a condition. You're going to teach not only, you know, curriculum, but also, you know, our ways, what we believe, thoughts, things like that. Otherwise, you can't have the money. So you have, you know, decades. It wasn't just yesterday or the day before. I mean, you have decades of this conditioning going on to, you know, if you want these huge checks, you're going to do things our way. And that's the universities have been bought. But large and small. So we're sending our kids basically to be indoctrinated, and that's exactly what's happening, because these foreign entities own it. And to get to your point about, you know, love it or leave it, if I have a great party, a wonderful party, I invite you over, invite the neighbors over, but I have this one jerk that comes over and tells me, you need to rearrange the furniture. You need to, like, you know, make this for, I don't like what you're serving for dinner. I want it this way. I'm going to tell that guy to get the hell out. Okay, if you don't like my party, go home. All right? I'm not going to say, oh, let's change everything for Larry here that's not having a good time. No, I say, get the hell out and go home. Okay, that's what we've got to do here. If you don't like it, it's the best country in the world, the greatest country in the world. And if you don't like it, go home. Nobody's making you stay. Leave.
Wait a minute. Hang on, Todd. Wait a minute. This interview is going very well until, did I just hear you say, if you invite me to a party and you're serving vodka martinis, but I like gin martinis, you're going to tell me to go home? Because I do like gin martinis.
I don't drink, Randy. If you're going to come to my place, you're not going to get anything. And then
brother.
I mean, if you want your vodka martini, you can go to my neighbor up the street. But that's what it is. And I'm not saying I have great parties, but it's my party. You know, you came over. So.
All right. Hey, we got to run, and I know you got to get ready for your show, which airs, of course, every Saturday here on News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. What's on today on the right show?
Oh, well, it's more craziness and mayhem. We actually have a New York City reporter, New York City, she's coming in. She did a piece on the Rockwood School District on how they're censoring.
Oh, good.
Censoring the web and the internet inside the schools, which actually has a different type of a twist to it than I expected. And we got all kinds of other fun and mayhem, and we throw water balloons at cars and things like that. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Sounds fun. Todd Showalter, nationally syndicated cartoonist and host of the Right Mind Show here on Newstalk STL 101.9. Hey, I always enjoy the conversation, and with all the absurdity and the threat to our very existence, it's always fun to yuck it up a little bit and get your analysis. Thanks, Todd. We'll be listening.
Thank you, Ray. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
All right, there he is, Todd Showalter. And boy, I tell you, if you don't laugh, you'd be crying, right? Isn't that the case? When we come back, I have another Biden bite for you. We like to tee those up once in a while. And don't forget, later on, 7:45, we'll be talking to Virginia Cruda. At 8:06, don't miss Senator Jim Talent to break down what's going on in Iran and Israel and the tensions in the Middle East. And Bob Onder talking about this initiative petition legalizing abortion till the day of birth and how the pushback against it is being smeared by the St. Louis Most Detached. Lots coming up here on the program. Stay tuned, please.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
I tell you, I get so incensed when I see government investigating government and excusing away government excess and government abuse and government tyranny or government excess spending. It's just so sad. It's sad on the one hand, it angers you on the other. Remember the FBI memo that came out and basically said, the memo was generated by an FBI unit up there. I think it was in Virginia. And it basically directed FBI agents to, quote, find a link between racially motivated violent extremists and any specific religion or political affiliation, which then led to the investigation of traditional and the naming of traditional Catholic parishes and organizations as being potential terrorists. Remember that? Well, isn't it wonderful to know? I just feel so reassured, so reassured. And I'm not Catholic, but I know many, 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 many good Catholics. Many of you are good Catholics who were just, again, just incensed about this abuse, this weaponization of the DOJ. Now we have a 120-day review handled by, wait for it, the Justice Department. Investigating one of its own units, the FBI, and Inspector General Michael Horowitz sent a letter to members of Congress on Thursday, basically saying that there was nothing there. The FBI has been exonerated. They said they didn't find any evidence of any abuse there. Everything's okay in FBI land. The same FBI who was involved in the Russian hoax, the same FBI who has gone after, people who have don't tread on me bumper stickers or voted for Ron Paul. And, they're on the list, the watch list. It's a sad day in our country. I mean, it seems like we're returning to the days of Herbert, of J. Edgar Hoover. Right? I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. Though the investigation was appropriate, Inspector General's review, according to this report, criticized aspects of the memo warning about potential extremism, but it said it found that although there was no evidence of malicious intent or improper purpose, the memo failed to adhere to analytical tradecraft standards and evinced errors in professional judgment, blah, 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 blah. The point is, nothing's going to happen. No heads are going to roll. No meaningful oversight going forward on FBI abuse is going to happen because you have the government regulating the government. And you've seen it when the Congress in its oversight capacity tries to rein in some of these abuses. And first of all, they can't even get records half the time, whether it's Merrick Garland or whether it's Christopher Wray. Well, an active investigation going on. We can't release those records to you. Well, the investigation could go on until what? You know, the year 3000, right? I mean, it's just there's something so wrong here with this. That's why you have congressional oversight over these agencies. I mean, it's what leads to, we've talked about it earlier. We'll talk about it with Virginia Cruda. I know she's going to be worked up over this when we talk to her in a few minutes. Because she's got, I believe, a daughter. She was on her way to, I think, was it a soccer game or something last week? Remember when she talked to us? This Title IX redefinition of sex. That's an executive branch overreach. They have taken the Title IX standards. They've now bastardized what was the most important advance forward for equality for women in sports and in other realms. That was, in that instance, it was about opportunities in sports and in education that simply said you couldn't discriminate, you know, on the basis of sex. Well, now it's you can't discriminate on the basis of gender identity because that's now been made tantamount to your sex. So I thought about it. And again, but getting back to the point, this is because this bureaucracy that ultimately is what the bureaucracy now is your legislature. They're the ones that actually make the rules that impact your life and define how you need to live, whether it's in your personal life, your IRS contributions, named taxes, your regulatory environment, if you're a business person. And that's what it is. Now, as I thought about it, though, there may be a lane here, Jerome. We've chronicled over the last few weeks, it's an ongoing theme. You've made, what did you say, 500 applications for employment. You've had, what, three interviews or three looks, but it never turned into an interview? Is that what I remember?
Yeah, just okay. About between Indeed and other job sourcing sites and actually applying to the company, just based purely on the rejection emails, it's right around 500 since the beginning of 2023.
Okay. Now, this may require a little bit of some makeup artistry on your point, but I'm thinking now that we've redefined, now that we're all neutered, there is no sex anymore. You can be a shapeshifter. You can be Jerome, the wrestler guy, big muscles, high testosterone. When the moment's right, yeah. When you apply for the bouncer gig, okay. But on the other hand, if you want a gig working for some woke company, excuse me, I repeat myself. I mean, you know, that's redundant. Every company's woke now, except for News Talk STL. I think why not just start identifying when you apply as a woman? Well, and then you'd get a look at least. You'd at least get an interview because now we live in a world where your sex can be fluid. So you're not lying when you put, you just say, hey, you know, at the moment when I filled this out, I identified as female. And then you'll get an interview. I know you can't do that because you're a man of principle, but what would prevent a guy from doing that if you're desperate and you need to put food on the table?
Yeah, I was considering that as well. You know, what's to tell somebody that when they fill out job applications, they don't identify as a disabled lesbian? You know, I can learn to do some makeup, I'm sure. You know, maybe I look good, there you go. Maybe not. I don't know. But if that's the level that we're at right now, and it's crazy that we have all the science and we have years of genetics and we have biology, we have all these courses, and this is where we end up as a society. Is people,
yeah.
And I heard a phrase that I really liked. You know, there are two sexes and zero genders and billions of personalities. And that's kind of how I view the world, you know. And that's, but why do we have to validate all these different personality disorders when, you know, we have an entire lineage of feeling? I mean, there are diseases like chromosomally linked diseases that men cannot get because we have an X chromosome and vice versa, mm-hmm. that women can't get. And I guess it just doesn't matter anymore, right? Why does anything matter if we're just going to keep changing definitions and moving the goalpost?
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. And you know, we joke about it and you have to sort of make light of it and parody it. But I think that speaks to how absurd our times are when there seems to be no no absolute truths anymore, right? The truth is essentially what you want to make it. Well, think about this week with the NPR scandal that came out, right? A couple weeks ago, this Uri Berliner, who I think had been a senior editor at NPR for, 27 years, a couple weeks ago on Barry Weiss's Free Press, Barry Weiss, who herself left the New York Times after there was a hue and uproar in the newsroom because they published a Tom Cotton op-ed a couple of years ago. So she then goes out and does the Free Press. She's sort of an ex-liberal newsroom person. I think she's more liberal-leaning herself, but she said, look, we cannot have this absolutely imbalanced situation in the New York Times newsroom where you know, where you said that the kids are leading the parade these days, or Todd was saying that, you know, the kids are making the rules. Okay, so Uri Berliner calls out NPR and says, look, there's 87 Democrats, people who voted Democrat, and zero Republicans in the newsroom. That's not the NPR that I knew, what, back in 1970 when it started. And after that, for several years, I mean, yeah, we always knew that, like most media, they were a little soft and squishy and crunchy and left-leaning, but they were not absolutely out to undo Donald Trump. Well, he blew the lid open on their agenda. He said after Donald Trump, in the Free Press article that he wrote and then the interview he did with Barry Weiss, he basically said, look, I came to realize that it was one thing to criticize Donald Trump on the facts, but when the whole Russian hoax thing came out after 2016 election, we were all in. And Adam Schiff made 100 and some odd appearances on NPR. There was nowhere, no how begun to be balanced with guests and opinion on the other side. NPR, publicly funded, at least partially, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which also runs the propaganda broadcasting system, otherwise known as PBS. And so then he got suspended by the CEO, who is the most woke individual in the world. And Chris Rufo has gone back and captured some of her tweets. I mean, she talks about the patriarchy and about her white guilt. I mean, it doesn't come more than progressive than this gal. Marr is her last name, Catherine Marr, like Bill Marr. Okay, so without meeting with him, she didn't even meet with him, and suspends him. And a day or two later, he resigned. He said, I can't do this. I can't be a part of this anymore. So I think just like Candace Owens, for all of her recently sort of anti-Semitic tendencies, I mean, she's gone a little off the rails. But I mean, she led the Blexit movement, right, where blacks are exiting the whole captivity of being under Democratic influence and the spell of the Democrats. I think you're seeing an increasing number of journalists that are saying, hey, I may be left leaning, but I don't want to be a part of this. This is not right. I mean, at some point, some of them still seem to have some scruples. That's good to see. And we as conservatives need to honor that and say, look, I'm going to at least give an ear to balanced, you know, the other balanced side. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to do that at some point. But I mean, what happened at NPR, I think, was really seminal in where this country is going. And we've got to acknowledge it. We've got to call it out. And frankly, I think we should all stop paying our, if there was any way we could do some kind of a checkoff on our taxes that says, look, I don't want my, you know, a couple bucks going to NPR. I don't think that should happen, but it did anyway. Hey, well, let's step aside. Why don't we get aside a little early and see if we can, maybe talk to Virginia, because we got a lot to talk about on this Title IX. I know women across the land that are hearing about what happened yesterday with the Department of Education's new rules, Title IX, absolutely tearing apart the equality on the sports field for women. We'll be talking about that with Virginia and other things when we come back here on the Randy Tobler Show. Thanks for being with us.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the program. A little technology note. We've been thrown off of Facebook, apparently. I don't know if it was something that Todd and I said or what. You never know how you're being censored. But you can still catch us on Rumble or Twitter or YouTube. And I don't know, Jerome's trying to work on that. Jerome, you don't see any black copters flying around the studio, do you? I mean, is the drones, is something going on there? Everything okay?
Yeah, so far I don't hear any sirens, so I think I'm safe. I'm still trying to shred files just in case they come after me, though. But yeah, it looks
like... Yeah, please do. Yeah.
we got a notification from a couple of the stream viewers that moved over to Rumble, letting us know that for some reason... the Facebook stream was down, and what it looks like, and I can't say for certain, but it looks like it's a music strike, which is odd because we're a radio station that pays licensing fees to play music. So we're trying to get that resolved for anybody that likes to watch us on Facebook. But the good news is our YouTube is up, our Twitter is up, and Rumble's up. And as if you don't have time to stay for the full show, as always, go to the Dr. Randy Tobler Spotify account where you can hear the entire hours uploaded every day by noon,
including the Virginia Cruda segment, which is always one of the most popular conversations we have. Virginia, are you fuming this morning on the heels of the Friday night Title IX rules dump of yesterday? I cannot believe it.
Have you been watching my Twitter feed? Apparently, maybe.
I figured you have.
Facebook. Yeah. They knew I was coming.
That's probably what it is, man. I mean, this is really, I caught a little bit of Megyn Kelly's podcast, and I mean, she was on fire. There were more F-bombs than Donald Trump says on the stock. Well, he doesn't do F-bombs.
Well, I mean, boy, oh boy.
You won't, but I mean, I wouldn't blame. I mean, look, I think that reflects the sentiment of a lot of women who are seeing an absolute explosion of what had been advances in women's equality since Title IX came along. What are your thoughts in the wake of this rule?
Well, my first thought was pretty simple. You know, my mom graduated high school in 1970. And so she played high school sports before Title IX. She played field hockey and she swam. And, you know, people like her who were involved in women's sports before it was really even protected, they were the ones who paved the way for people like me to swim and to run and to, you know, play volleyball on a more even court, a more even playing field. And we're in a position where now if my daughter does not get that same even playing field, it will be because the Biden administration intentionally stripped it from her.
It's just amazing. Let me ask you about this, because we talk
generations. You know, one generation fought to get it, and then I had it, and now we've got, you know, it's interesting how quickly the third and fourth wave feminists who rave about the patriarchy usher it in intentionally.
I can't believe it. I got to ask you, though. Have you noticed the coverage on the left? I mean, I've seen it in the Washington Post, but there's others that are trying to sweep under the rug the reality of the rule. They don't specifically address athletics. And so the left, like the Post and others, the Washington Compost, you know, they're saying, well, you know, they don't, they're deferring any judgment on athletics and therefore trying to imply that this won't affect female athletes. What about locker rooms? What about locker rooms? It's all throughout the rule.
Right. It's the locker room stuff is in there. What's more concerned, where I think they may have overstepped is with the pronouns. And they're essentially mandating that you use pronouns as directed by the person. So, like, if I come in and I tell you, and I'm going to use a bizarre example that I actually saw on TikTok. I don't have TikTok. It was just a TikTok video that was put on X. But this person who was clearly female, but trying to be as androgynous as possible, like, they wanted their gender to not be obvious, right? So that that's the way they're dressing and presenting themselves. But this person, clearly female, introduced herself with the pronouns bee and fairy. Now, let's throw out the fact entirely that bee and fairy are nouns, not pronouns.
Yes, and, right.
You know, and so she was saying things like, so you address me as like, if I were to say that I love myself, I wouldn't say that. I would say bee loves bee self, or fairy loves fairy self. And the Biden administration is now telling us not we should respect the pronouns, we must use the pronouns. Now, here's my question. If speech can be compelled, is it free?
Well, that's the question. And, you know, Jordan Peterson.
Do we have a First Amendment issue
right,
here? Because
right.
The first person who says, I'm inconvenienced by this truckload of horse crap that you've forced me to cart around, then I think they have a real argument.
Well, it's one thing, isn't it, Virginia, to say there are certain things you can't say? I mean, after all, the FCC has rules that I think people have agreed by. There's a few words that you just can't say or else you get in trouble, get your hand slapped. And Jordan Peterson fought this battle up in Canada, right? And we looked at it carefully, well, and he ultimately, now he's, yeah.
Here's the thing, and I agree with you kind of on the broader point, but with the FCC, yeah, there are certain things that you can't say if you want to continue broadcasting on the radio, right?
Right, right.
You can still say them.
Right.
You just won't be allowed to broadcast anymore.
Right. Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's something in the negative, right? I mean, it's one thing to say you can't say, there's things like you can't say. I would say if you're on a college campus and they say you can't in a public speech use the N-word or something. I mean, you know, we can have a discussion on that. But be compelled to say something, that's an entirely different construct.
Right. Well, and the other thing is we're talking about the federal government. You're giving me examples of things that are like on a college campus or on the radio. These are things that have context, as opposed to if you say this thing, the federal government will hold you in violation of a law.
Yeah.
And so you know, it would be different if there were a federal law banning the public use of a specific word. Do you see what I'm saying? Like that's what it amounts to. Now, this is the public expulsion of a specific word or specific pronouns or. Do you see what I'm saying? Like
I get it. Yeah,
I understand the comparison, but it's not quite apples to apples because you're talking about the federal government either restricting or compelling speech.
Right. Well, I mean, it's an absolute. It's an absolute not only erosion, but.
Well, they are in effect restricting speech too, because you can't look at someone who is obviously female and say, this is a woman, if they claim to be otherwise.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know.
You are
forced to
address the pronouns as chosen, then you can't do that.
Well, I don't understand it. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, we've been talking about Jerome and how he can't as a, you know, young white male get a look after 500 and with a good resume, an outstanding resume, he can't get a look. So I'm thinking, well, why shouldn't Jerome go on some college campus and apply in the Department of Human Resources and say, I'm a female? Why can't he do that and expect to be not discriminated against?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's you know, they wonder why. What I think is interesting is that if you look at the things that that all the left wing pundits cite, the FBI is saying that radical white right wing males are the biggest danger, the biggest terrorist threat in our country. You know, you've heard them all say this. Yep. Who do you think radicalized them? The people who have told them every day of their lives, especially people who are in high school now, this has been since the beginning of their education. you deserve to feel guilty because you're white. You deserve to feel guilty because you're male. You have got all this privilege that people in the LGBTQ community don't have, that women don't have, that minority ethnic groups and races don't have. You've got all this privilege. None of them have actually seen this privilege exemplified because they've spent their entire lives being told that they don't deserve it. They've spent their entire lives being told that they're the enemy. Who wouldn't be radical at this point?
Yeah. Well, okay, let's talk about the males more. And from a woman's standpoint, the other element of this, I mean, you've talked about the pronouns. You've talked about, it's got to, obviously, you know, last week you were on the way to a competition with your daughter, and we know what an impact this thing, if it goes through, is going to have on. Okay, what about the fact that under the new rule, this Title IX rule that came out, if a college guy and a college gal have a consensual relationship, and the next day the gal accuses him of sexual assault, or a soccer team is accused, I'm thinking of the Duke case here.
Yes.
There is now going to be no due process for male. And we know that sexual assault and predation does happen. That's not what this is about. But I mean, what about due process rights that have now been lost on the wake of this ruling?
Well, we know that sexual assault and rape happen, but we also know that false accusations happen. And this change does not allow for that to be a possibility. It changes the standard to, I will tell you this, I have a daughter who competes in sports, and we've talked about that. I also have a son who's in college, and I have had to sit him down and tell him there will be days that you just cannot win. There will be days when you are the bad guy in the room simply because you were born white and male. And that's it.
Wow.
There will be days. And, you know, we've talked about this. We've seen it on media. We've talked about the, especially, you know, even a couple of decades ago, more so than now, there are black parents talking to their children saying, there will be days when the police think you're the bad guy, even when you've done nothing wrong. Well, that has now come full circle, and there will be days when the college will expel you because you had a conversation with the wrong woman, and she decided that she was going to. And
that's, well, that's the last word, Virginia. We got to let it go, but I think that is beautiful, and we've got to get out, but we're going to leave it there. It's hard to believe, but we're there. Thank you, Virginia Cruda. Really appreciate it. Back with Jim Talent at 8:06. Stay there.